time to write and beginning a visit with Shirley this Monday morning, the 18th of June, 73. Channel to write and beginning the visit with Shirley this Monday morning, the 18th of June, 73. First visit and first time I've seen her in a couple of months since the Virgil affair started. Channel 2 right, beginning the visit with Shirley this Monday, the 18th of June, 73.
Just now made fertilizer.
That's it.
Oh, and think what you did last year.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Well, sure.
The price of labor is so high.
Did you have a little glass of orange juice?
No, thank you. I'm going to have to get right back.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to get back. Those trucks are coming out. Hello.
You wanna
Happy Father's Day.
You want to see where my jail in here? Are you right over there?
Pickers.
How you wandering on Monday morning?
I just brought the boys over to work at Evanston.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh. They're putting in a pretty good day's work over there now, over between here and our place. And
you know what this is for?
What's that? Keep the sun out?
Keep that sun out.
Yeah.
It hits in the air.
That's what I do in my kitchen window. I keep it shut until the sun goes over the house.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll get a breath.
Just a breath, because I got to get going here. If I sit down too long, I'm not going to get started.
Well,
I'm still on the run this morning.
You haven't run your errands yet. I've been trying to get over to your house. Hell, I'm just run down. You know, look at that. I never had to do that before.
I hope that's not a 100% alcoholic. That's for your nerves, is it? Oh, good. If you have to have an ailment, it costs good enough as anything. It's better than some of the other ailments.
Well, that's just one of many things. It's just shameful. God, I really got some thoughts. That's what that typewriter will do for you, kid.
Well, Bonnie's taking typing.
Well, you tell her it's the worst thing she's ever
No, I'm trying to get her to do something. I'm trying to get her out of my hair. She's got to learn. She's going through a very fast period where she grasps knowledge pretty rapidly, you know, anything she takes up. So I thought, I'm going to keep her going this summer while she's on this learning spree.
Yeah.
You see,
let me tell you,
she worries me.
I remember that age from the little girl, Faye's niece, and it's fabulous. There's a stage in there where there's just no end of what they can learn.
That's
there?
Right. If she only could realize how important it is.
Mm-hmm. Well,
if she could, you know, if I'd had the opportunity that she's had, good Lord, I never would have stopped. I guess I'd still be going. But she's, she doesn't realize how important it all is.
And somebody
takes it nonchalantly.
Somebody that ride herd on you.
That's worse than anything.
Be the straw boss, or whatever you call it.
Well, I tried to tell her how important everything is, but she won't know until she's older and gone through a lot.
You don't need to talk to her.
No.
That's sensible. Just crack the whip.
With her, that doesn't work either. I tried that. She's got somewhat of her own stubborn streak in her. You know, some of her mother and some of her father mixed together. That's a bad combination.
That's really a combination. Now, what are they doing over there?
They're packing melons, loading melons on the trucks and whatnot. Oh, there have been busy kids this summer ever since school let out. The day school let out, that's when it started. And they've been going ever since.
Making some money.
Yeah, the kids have made enough. Now they want to... yesterday was Father's Day. So they said, Dad, let's go for a ride into town, you know. Well, they made a pile of money, and I knew what they'd been, you know, asking for and dreaming about and everything else. So, Dad, let's go for a ride into town. It's so hot. You know. So they went. It was Father's Day. So they went into town, and they wanted their favorite treat is to stop at the Burger King and get a hamburger and some French fries and a milkshake.
Yeah.
So they treated Dad to dinner.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
None of their style.
Yeah, that's right. So they said, well, we got a big surprise for you. He says, what's that? He says, we're going to stop you by the Yamaha and show you which bike we're going to buy. I thought he was going to go through the ceiling. Sure enough, they've already picked out one they want to buy. Yamaha. I'm about to go through the ceiling. But he says, that was something Father's Day he'll never forget. They've been treating him to dinner and they're going to show him the Yamaha.
They warmed him up.
Yeah. He came back and he was laughing so hard I didn't think he could drive. He was crying. He was laughing so hard. He said, you know what they just showed me? I said, yeah, I saw. Oh, Lordy, they're so excited about that Yamaha.
It's amazing how exciting they can get it.
Oh, you'd think it was Christmas in July, I'm telling you. They're saving their money, and I think they lack about $3 or $4 of having enough between the two of them. So today will wind that up. They'll make
and
that.
You can tell they just walking on air.
Yeah.
The day's work don't matter.
No, sir.
Who's working?
Timmy and Danny.
Timmy and Danny.
Timmy and Danny.
Oh.
And they're going to put their money in together and buy this Yamaha.
So
and you talk about somebody working. Freddie said he's never seen such kids work that size. He said he's never seen kids that age work that hard in his life. Timmy especially. Timmy can work rings around anyone else. I don't care who it is. Oh, he's a little knot, you know, but he can really go to town. He outworks Johnny, and Johnny's 3 years older than he is.
Well, let me tell you, old man Boyd, Mitchell Boyd, lived over there on your road.
Uh-huh.
All his boys, he was not any. He'd run.
Uh-huh.
Tim was no run. But all his boys was not any. Which one is it? Saw? There's several of them. I know several of them. And they were the big watermelon packers. They'd pack the trucks.
Doug Boyd. He's packing mail.
Oh, is
for
he?
Us. Uh-huh. He's a worker. He gets out there in the hot sun and works, and he's had a bad kidney ailment. But he gets out there anyhow and works. He took a vacation. He said he's just doing this on his spare time, and he said he's not going to let anything bother him. He said if the melons rot before his eyes, he's not going to let that bother him. He said he's just going to go with the tide, you know, and learn to relax a little bit. The doctor said he had to do this because he was headed for a nervous breakdown. So He was working two or three jobs at one time.
Uh-oh.
And he's learned his lesson. Now, Berman's got to learn. And I'm afraid it'll hit him. When it hits him, it's going to hit him all of a sudden. That man just will not slow down. Yesterday was the first time that he really rested in a long, long, long time.
He works up on the campus, in the office, and then he comes out here?
And works in those fields. He's been trying to plant grass and pack watermelons, get those two fields of melons out of the way, and work at the university all in the same time.
Yeah.
And he took off summer's vacation, and so that he feels like he's not jipping the university out of time, he goes a half a day to the university, comes home and works half a day at the field.
Is he in on the work with the melons?
Oh, yes. There, we've had three of the boys in Berman, and Freddie, and the Gleason boys all over there working.
Yeah.
And then the colored help, too, has been over there off and on.
And you just now made fertilizer.
Just now made fertilizer money.
How many of those Gleason boys are there?
Three.
Which ones are they?
JT's boys.
Yeah.
Tommy and Billy and the other one, though.
Yeah.
One in between Tom and Bill. I don't know what his name is.
Well,
they're nice kids, real nice boys.
And they know how to work?
Yeah, they're pretty good workers. They keep right. Freddie said ever since they've been able to throw a watermelon, they've been working for him every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and boy, they had grown so this year, I didn't know them.
Yeah.
They were little old wiry knots the last time I saw them.
Question.
It's Tommy. Let me.
Yeah.
Let me yell out to him. Come here just a minute.
See, now I'm calling her.
Come here.
Come in here, Tommy.
I'm going to have to run because I gotta get back. There's another truck coming out to look over those melons for another truckload. See if he can get another truckload out of there. The trouble with us, why we're so far behind in making anything this year, is because we came in a week too early.
Early?
Before the week too early. Always before, it's been the ones that was early,
yes.
Early in the market made the money.
Good
this
job.
Time,
but.
This time, because of the gas, the truckers not being able to get the gas, the shortage in gas, it's been hard to get a truck, get trucks out there to ship the melons. And because of this, the truckers don't want to come down here until there's quite a few melons on the market so that they can be sure to go back loaded. So here we are, one of the first ones to start off, and no one else to help, you know, with the supply. And so they won't come. So now they're just beginning to come, and we're just beginning to run out of melons.
That's something.
But the gas is what's really messed us all up. We thought they were all going to rot in the field there for a while. We were really worried. So we had to take the least we could, you know, let them go for and let them move before they rotted. And now the price has gone up and we're short of melons now. We just have to wait a week or two before they can. Then we had to get an airplane out there to spray the melons. Did you hear about Lambert? The aeroplane sprayer? He got killed. Burned
been,
up in his plane.
I've been afraid of that.
Yeah.
Hell, I've seen him. You can do that just so much, and your chances is gone.
He came out. He's the one we get to come out, and he goes between those telephone light wires and the fence posts. You know, the wire, the fence on them, right between the two of them. And I have held my breath when he'd circle around the house.
Yeah.
And I told. About the same time he got killed, I told a couple that came to the house. We happened to be talking about it because another guy came out to spray. It wasn't Lambert. That morning. And that evening, we were sitting there on the porch talking about it. And I said, I would never be married to one of those guys that fly those planes. And she said, oh, Shirley. She said, they must know what they're doing. And I said, but it doesn't take much to cause an accident. And sure enough, the next morning, she called me up on the telephone. She said, did you hear about Lambert? I said, no. And I said, don't tell me he's crashed. And she said, yes, and he's dead. His plane burned up. He took off with a load of sulfur insecticide, and it blew up with him. And she said, it happened at the same time we were sitting there talking about it the night before.
Yeah.
So, If Berman so help me, if he plants one melon next year, I'm going to divorce him.
Well, it's you ought to be pretty well hardened to it now.
Oh, really? You never, your nerves just don't. I just can't take it. That the trucks are supposed to be out there at a certain time,
yeah.
And you call and want to know where the trucks are. Well, they'll be there in 15 minutes. You call in 15 minutes, they're not there. They'll
yeah.
be there another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it may be 2 days, or it may be 2 hours.
Yeah.
And you hold all these. And I've had all this. I've had kids
yeah.
sleeping on pallets and on. They toss coins to see which one's going to get the beds. The one left over takes the pallets and goes on the floor.
Yeah.
You
breakfast, dinner, and supper. I'm telling you, I'm about had it.
Well, let me tell you, once you live a life like that, next year if you don't have that, you'll be done. Things will be just the end.
I'd be all right with me.
You just miss it.
It's a mess. Freddie says, I swear I'm not gonna plant another watermelon. He will. Sue said she's tired and fed up with it too. She said, used to, when they could get their melons, go over here to Huff's plant, you know.
Yeah.
She said, that was all right.
Yeah.
Because you knew you could get them on the line and get them out of here. And the truckers are sitting there waiting. But now you have to call around and hunt a truck. Maybe they'll be there, maybe they won't.
Yeah.
It's just aggravating.
Well, when Bill Wynn had melons back here, I remember he'd bring his melons on out of here and wait for the truck to come to, load them in out of the field. And that big truck wouldn't come, and those fellas would just sit on those melons. That's all they could do. He had a truck tied up and a whole crew of these fellas. Well, he didn't care. I mean, he was in it partly to just make work.
Mm-hmm.
He also made money, I think, a lot of times. I remember
mm-hmm.
that, and I thought to myself, but I couldn't stand that.
Well, I hope to goodness he doesn't go in it next year.
Shirley, while you're here, I've been trying to get over there. I'm sorry, I'm glad I didn't. Now you're so busy.
Yeah, it's been murder.
I haven't seen Miss Mary in a long time.
She and Marvin have just about kicked the bucket.
Sure.
They have really had it. They have been real sick. I've been ashamed of myself that I haven't been over doing something for them, but I've just been tied up, yeah. And I'm going to stop on my way back and see her for a few minutes. She is about the sickest woman I have ever seen. And Marvin is about the same way. He's been down in his hip and his back, you know.
Yeah.
And I've felt real sorry for him, but I swear I just haven't had a break to get over there. I've called on the telephone. Well, I think it's some kind of a virus that she's got. And he caught it, and he was in bed. I guess he was in bed a couple of weeks with it. And they're still no good. They're just barely getting around. So another hit like that, and she won't be around. She was real bad. They went to the doctor, but it took them a long time. It took her a long time to get over there. And really, I didn't want to go over there and get it, but I thought maybe I could fix something and take it over to her. But I swear I have had so much to do, I haven't been able to get over there.
No,
so,
I didn't even know that.
But she couldn't. They couldn't eat. They couldn't eat anything, and then 2 weeks went by like that. I don't know how in the world they ever survived it.
Well,
but
the last time I was there, they had just put a trimming on that little well house there.
Uh-huh.
Made it slick up. Slicked it up.
It was right after that.
She was standing there. I remember the last thing she said. She says, had these people out here to look at this house and price a new one? Lee said, look at it for was $20,000 and just tear this one down. That's the last thing I remember saying. So I figured she was off on that new house idea.
No. Well, I kind of wish they were, because it'd give her something to look forward to. But I tell you now, she's just about to give up. She is so bad off. And Marvin, too.
And has just been hanging on?
I don't know. When Marvin is sick, he's sick, because he's like Marvin. He won't give up. He just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they're better in the last few days, I haven't. I thought I'd check on her on the way back home. And I can't stop on the way home. I got to get back and see if those trucks are in. But I want to stop on the way over again, because I have to come pick up the boys.
Let me tell you, Shirley. I haven't seen you since your cows got in the long pasture.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Berman has used all my pasture up in those watermelons.
Yeah.
And I was really hurting for some, you know. So I turned them all in that millet, even though that millet never did do anything. That was the best it looked when you was there.
Well, it looked promising. It just didn't get
any
moisture.
Just didn't get anywhere. It didn't get any rain, and it sat there and got, you know, we had a few cold spells late in the season, and that really nipped it back.
Yeah.
So it didn't
do a
thing. It didn't do a thing.
It was a long, cold season.
But those cows, I swear, they look like elephants for not eating anything. I don't know where how they're holding their weight, because I'm not feeding them grain. And
my cows look monstrous, but the calves are spindly.
Well, I've fed the calves some grain. You know, I've had cattle rustlers out there. They got 3 head from us.
Surely.
And that really made me so sick, I haven't even gone out to look at the cows for 2 weeks.
I
there may be more gone. I don't know.
I just been expecting it at a time. See, they're all so gentle.
Well, you know, over here they caught 3.
Who was it? Moran and... You didn't know the others.
I think that the one that got shot was Abernathy. I'm not sure. But if it was Abernathy, he's the one that comes out and shoots the horse's hooves. And he was out there between the 1st and the 17th of April. Somewhere around in there. And it was around the, between the 28th and the 30th that I missed 2 head.
Oh, yes.
And then again, about 2 weeks ago, I missed another heifer. So...
they go around, they can look over your place.
Uh-huh. So I can't say it was him because I didn't see him, but... And the prettiest ones on the place.
Well, let me tell you, I'll come over there as soon as the thing settles down, but I don't think they're going to settle anytime soon. Let me tell you, did you ever get the boy married off, Virgil?
I'm going to shoot you. He fell in love with Debbie, and we didn't know what he was getting around to. And Mrs. Guthrie and I said if we ever had another daughter or another dog or another cat, the last thing we'd name it was Debbie. We heard that name until we were sick of it.
Yeah.
We stopped by 5 minutes to look at those fish, those things. That's the only time he saw her.
And that's when it happened. And he came down to the house, and he said, I saw the prettiest girl. I said, really, Virgil? And it never dawned on me again. I forgot all about that. And then he was up to the house, I'll bet you, every day from then on. Every day. He came to talk, and maybe he'd mention Debbie, maybe he wouldn't. And then every time he'd see her, then it got worse. And it just so happened he was... I called her to come over and see the cows that morning. Because I didn't have nobody there, and it was just... And Tommy, one of the kids from school, was back there playing pool. And I thought, well, we were getting ready for that Boy Scout banquet. I was painting those things, because I remember I was painting them when she walked in. And just before she came, Virgil drove up. And boy, he got to talk to her that day, and I never did hear the end of that. Never did hear the end of it. And he pestered me to death.
Visits.
Yeah, that was. I was busy painting, so I introduced him to him, since he was already there. And he said... I wanted to know more about her, you know. He wanted to ask her some questions, and he was bashful as he could be. He's very harmful. I don't think he'd ever ask her for a date if it came right down to it. He wanted to, but he never would have, I don't think. But anyhow, I let them play a game of pool when I finished up painting those things, just because I had to have them dry for that evening. And we sat down and talked for a little bit, and I started down to the cows, you know, to show Debbie the cows and turn them over to the field, and he followed us out to the truck. So, and then I remember the gear shift on my truck was stuck, and I had to pull the hood and fix that, so I said, Virgil, let us use your truck. He said, all right. So we got in his truck and went down there. And the cows wouldn't come through because they couldn't recognize the truck, so we had time with them getting them through there. But finally we got them through, and we went on back. And Debbie, I wanted her to stay and visit with me for a while, and she, you know, wanted to get away from Virgil, I think, and I couldn't blame her. And he wouldn't leave for nothing as long as she was there. Well, she left, and as soon as she left, he went right out that door and followed her right out the layway. And I wondered if he'd ever followed her over here. I'd have broke his neck. But anyhow, he was dying to come over here. And I said, you leave that girl alone. I said, she's not interested in you. She's working. You remember I told you about it? You said, well, you had a ticklish situation over here. You didn't want her to come over, him to come over. So I told him that. He said, well, he says, I'm a gentleman at all times, he said. I says, well, be a gentleman and just forget about it. Well, he started to go into a shell. This habit that he has every year, going hibernating to the bedroom, and he won't come out only to eat, and then he goes back to bed again.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing that now.
Yeah.
He started doing this about a month ago, and nobody's seen him since.
Oh.
But I'm kind of glad of it, because he was worrying me to death.
Well, you talk like he is sort of a nuisance.
Well, I feel sorry for him in a way.
I told
so
you at the time that I was sort of wore down at this damn typewriter, and I had no sense of humor at all. I mean, I just couldn't go along.
I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
You said, how was it you put that down? I told him the exact words you said. He says, well, I'm a gentleman. I'm a gentleman at all times. I thought I'd die. You said, I had a ticklish situation over here, and you didn't care about having them over or something of that effect. And I told him to say the identical words. And he took it
well,
the wrong way, I guess. I don't know what he thought.
See, another thing is, Debbie has never been out of the cities. And
I thought she was a city girl.
What?
I mean, I thought she was a city girl.
That's what I say. She's never been outside of work.
Oh, I see.
And one reason she's coming out here to work instead of staying in town, why, she could sort of see how other
yeah.
people live.
Yeah.
And to have something like that right off, you see, it would sort of almost throw her.
Well, he thought that you all stopped by to see him instead of the fish. And that's what got him. He thought, well, who in the world would want to stop and see me bait lines, you know?
Yeah.
And he said he took one look at her, and she took one look at him, and that was bingo. That was it, you know? Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was the thing. And Mrs. Guthrie, he about worried her to death.
She talked like...
He was either at my place or at her place, talking about Debbie. And boy...
She talked like she had got a...
Oh, we both did. We felt sorry for him, and I told him, I said, why don't you go to the university, somewhere around there, around the university? I said, there's lots of girls walking up and down the highway. I said,
yeah.
Stop and talk to them. And he said, I think I will. Well, that was the last time I had talked with him.
Yeah.
Honestly, he had a thing going for Debbie. I don't know what
Miss Mary, I saw her once or twice after that. He'd come over that any hour of the day or night, and he come in out of a downpour of rain, and had his raincoat on, and it was dripping rain all over the place, and he was walking up and down the hall, looking up, you see, and saying, I know she likes me. She went like him.
I think he's a little bit sick, I'll tell you the truth.
Well, that's
I
another
think
thing, you see, It's right tricky to fool with chaps like that who
yeah.
are quite with us.
Well,
David just had to stay out of the way.
Yeah, I know it. I kind of felt bad about that because, and especially the day she drove up and he came up just before she came, and I couldn't get rid of him to save my neck. I couldn't get rid of him because I knew Debbie was coming over any minute. And I told him, I said, Virgil, I said, I'm expecting company, and I said, I got a lot to do. I said, why don't we get together this evening? You come on down, and I'll spend some time with you this evening. And sit and talk with you. And he'd come in, and he'd pour himself a cup of coffee, and he'd sit there and drink the coffee. And then he heard the pool table going back there, and that's all there was. He's a pool shark, you know.
Yeah.
So he heard the Danny and Tommy. Danny was home from school that day, so he went back there to play pool with the kids. And then Debbie drove up. And I wanted to tell her to go out and tell her to turn around and go back and come back another time, you know, but I didn't dare do that because I was afraid she'd take it wrong, that I didn't want her to come. And
you were right in the middle, weren't you?
Well, we were from the beginning, I'll tell you. He really went for Debbie. He's never done that before. He's never quite been that skittish. So now he's gone back to hype. It's an awful thing. So it's an awful shame that he doesn't get out and find somebody and get some interest in life. But he went through this. He was a real nice looking fella. He was real trim, you know, and
yeah.
when he first came in from service. And he had a girlfriend, and she went off and married somebody else. And that's what caused him to be like he is. you really thought a lot of her. Then this girl comes along, Debbie.
He's going back to bed.
Oh, now he's going back. I guess he won't come out till hunting season.
Well,
he'll stay back there till hunting season.
He ought to hellfire. Right now is the time to be out. Everything going on over there. He just sleeping through all this excitement.
Yeah, yeah. I told him. I said,
you
yeah,
could make him
a
money to buy a Toyota. What is it, that money?
Tina's got one. His sister's got one right there. He could ride it. But a lot of times he used to get on that thing and ride up to the house. And I'd be out hanging up clothes or something. He'd go in and fix himself a cup of coffee and he'd sit there and I'd come in.
Yeah.
I didn't like that because, well, I knew what a kook he was, and I knew he was friendly enough, but I didn't know but what the neighbors might think something different, you know. What?
He also liked the refrigerator.
Oh, boy.
What was it?
That guy could
pie,
eat anything. I don't care what it was. Raw meat. Raw pork.
What was it you tell about, Shirley, that he finished it off?
Oh, Miss Mary was talking about the biscuits.
No, it was Shirley saying over there.
I don't know. He's ate over there so many times. I don't know.
Yes, I guess so.
I don't remember.
But he had a little bit, and then somehow or other he just finished off the whole thing. Was it a pie? Well,
it could be.
It's nice to have an appetite.
His favorite is pumpkin pie, and I'd cut him a piece, and I'd make it. It was for supper.
Oh, yeah.
And I cut him a piece, and I gave him a cup of coffee, and I couldn't have any pies, of course, so I sat there, and I drank a glass of orange juice or grapefruit juice, and he was eating the pie, and I was sitting there talking with him. I went out to hang up the rest of my clothes, and I came back in, and here he was with a fork eating the rest of the pie.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that the word?
Yeah, that sounds more like it.
Yeah. We had pork one night. Great,
you know, the most curious
pork.
Things happened to Shirley, you see. My friend that I've never seen before always comes over and talks to her about his wood cows, you see.
I know.
And all them people up and down the road there.
Let me tell you something about Billy before I forget it. He's got him about an $85,000 home. A beautiful place.
Well, ain't that sad.
And you ought to see the land all the way around that house. And the cows look better than ours. I never saw the like of them. His cows are big Bramers. And they weigh more than two of our heifers, Herefords put together. I swear they are big animals. They must be improved or something, from India or something. I don't know, but I never saw any. They certainly don't look like the animals he's got in the woods over there by our place. And the irrigation system, that big around, going right through the middle of his place, going across the, I guess it goes under the highway.
Yeah.
And then he's got, you know what he's irrigating? A patch of, an irrigation system this big around. It must be a couple of thousand dollars for the pump alone. And all this pipe, I don't know how much Berman said it cost the joint, and it must have gone 4 miles from the house all the way across the pasture and up under the road and into another pasture, and he's watering a little old patch of cucumbers. I thought I'd die.
Were you over there?
Yeah. We went over there, and I tell him about those three heads that was stolen from us. See if he'd seen them anywhere in the woods, but we know good and well they weren't around because I missed them right shortly after they disappeared the next day or two.
Well, he's out of the woods,
man. Well, no, he's got cattle over there and he still rides. I guess
sure
he'll do that for the rest of his life. But
now, what a man like that wants an $85,000 house for is more than I can understand.
He must have paid every bit of that, or the contractor built it. So he had to pay at least $85,000 for that house. So
that's just hard to believe. Well, you see, everything happens to Shirley. She gets in on the watermelon, and she don't go out looking for those things.
It just comes at her.
But the
now.
Thing she does with me, she has a picnic with a whole lot of hobgoblins and gets me over after a picnic. I don't know any of them. They don't know each other.
Well, you missed a shindig over there when Mickey was here. I wanted to bring some pictures over and I forgot them. I'm telling you, I had a ball when she came out. I have never in my life enjoyed myself so much in 2 weeks' time as I did when she was there.
Yeah.
You would have died if you got to meet her.
Yeah.
She is a personality and all in herself. I'm telling you, she is it.
Who is
Mickey, my sister. She's 3 years younger than I am. And we were in stitches the length of time that she was there. And her kids, her two kids, one he had his 11th birthday while he was visiting with us, and her 14-year-old daughter, same age as Barney, and her boy, same age as Danny. The day they got ready to leave, those kids locked themselves in the bedroom and they cried and they didn't want to go. And then Mickey would cry because she didn't want to go.
Well, you know
where they live.
And I'd cry because I didn't want her to go. And the plane was getting ready. You know, we had to get ready and leave that house and get to the airport. And I said, Mickey, Dwayne's going to kill me if you don't go home. That's her husband. And them kids back there crying with the door locked and screaming they didn't want to go home. And here their father was waiting for them. I'm telling you, they just had a ball while they were here. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so nice.
But I never meet anybody at your house who's interesting.
Well, she would have been.
just leave me out when you've got company. I'll just come when you're the home folks.
Well, I wanted you to meet her so bad. But honestly, we were on the go all the time she was there. We were on the go. We went to Disney World. We'd never been to Disney. We'd never seen Florida compared to what we saw in those 2 weeks. We saw more Florida in those 2 weeks.
Well, what you saw in those 2 weeks, you couldn't give me. You couldn't hire me to go around and look at that part of Florida.
The only thing I wanted to do was sit by the swimming pool, let the kids swim, or
yes.
ride mini bikes, ride horses, or something.
Yes.
And we just had a ball. Just
That's
sitting
right.
But
you didn't waste much time knocking around Florida.
Yes, we did. We went to Disney World, went to St. Augustine, we went to the Marine Land, and we went
and
to...
And you went too?
Oh, yeah, we went everywhere.
Well, how'd you get off?
Berman took off some time from his vacation, but mostly we did it on the weekend. See, she came down, I think on a Thursday, and we started that weekend. And then I think he took off one day during the week. And then again on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you see, and then we took off. And then on Monday, too.
Oh, that good time.
So we just, but we had a good time. Berman enjoyed it because this is something he really likes to do. And I won't go.
He likes to go sightseeing?
Yes, he loves to do.
Oh, he does.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the most painful things I have to put up with.
Walk, and stand in line. Walk, and stand in line.
Yeah.
And what you see, you can. I get more out of looking out across the field and seeing nature than I do going to some cage in a zoo and looking at animals caged up. I can't stand that.
Some of my old friends from Kentucky came down here this spring and stayed a week. And, you know, I just assumed they hadn't even stopped. They had this sightseeing on the mind, and they weren't even like themselves.
Well, my heavens, you got to travel 200 miles in any direction in order to see anything.
But
and everything's an
issue. If they could just see what it does to them, they act so damn sap-headed.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but deliver me from sightseeing and sightseers. Now, they can go, you see. I don't have a bit of control over them, but just don't.
I took her over there to meet Mrs. Guthrie, and she thought she was it. You know, she had fixed it was the hottest day of the year. I mean, it must have been 97 degrees if it was a degree.
Yeah.
And she was in there with that wood stove going and bread piled all over the place. And what she was doing was baking bread and putting it in the deep freeze.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, really?
And Mickey and I walked in there and, woof, we almost dropped over from the heat. It's no wonder that woman's sick, I think. But anyhow, and she said, I can't believe it. In the middle of this hot weather, in the middle of Florida, this woman's making bread for the deep freeze.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, that's just incredible to me. Here's somebody who got a sister down in Florida who got 400 acres of fine land with cattle and woods and lake and all like that. And what do they do? What in the world?
Go sightseeing.
Go sightseeing.
Well, I think she's cured of that because Disney World cured us all. standing in line to see this thing and standing in line to see that thing. Of course, it was more or less for the kids. They wanted to see the site, the Disney World site. So that we satisfied them, then we satisfied us all. That was after that expedition. We went home and stayed home. We swam at that pool. We had picnics, hot dog roasts, and I don't know what all out there.
Yeah, that's more like it.
And took her down to milk the cow.
Yeah.
And I think she never had seen a cow, I don't think.
That's more like it.
And she said, oh, surely that's the oldest cow I have ever seen in my life. It's the only cow she's ever seen in her life. And I said, how can you tell she's an old cow, Mickey? She's trying to milk her. See, she's getting down there, getting ready to milk. And she touched the cow, you know, and got a hold of her by one quarter. And she started to squeeze for the milk. And she said, that's the oldest cow? I said, how can you tell she's an old cow? She said, because she's all wrinkled up. I thought I'd die. We went back to the house to strain the milk. We were so tired of hearing the kids saying, ma, 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 you know, all the time, from the time they got there. So I said, we'll send them all out to the, we'll send some out to the pool, send some out to ride the horses, and send some to ride the mini bikes. And I said, that'll get them all out of the house.
Yeah.
She said, that's a good idea. And then we could just sit down and relax, you know, have a cup of coffee and talk about good old days, you know. So we did. And a few minutes later from the back bedroom, we heard, ma, ma, I can't find my shoes. She said, she turned to me and looked at me, and I looked at her because we thought they'd all gone out of the house. She said to me, just as serious, she said, is that a southern ma or is that a northern ma? I thought I'd die. Is that a southern ma or is that a northern? She was ready to croak somebody, whether it was southern or northern. Oh, Lordy.
You know, I've been kind of worried about Miss Mary as to what this money would do to her. You see, things like that happen to you and you don't realize it. I remember I came home. I drove out here one time. And Miss Bootsy, she's an old field hand. Drain us up there. And she was sort of shuffling along there. And I remember I looked down at her and I said, that poor old soul. Well, you see, Miss Bootsy was one of my friends. And I sat by the hour down there at Miss Bessie's and talked to her. As she got sick, she lived down the way there, and I'd stop and bring her fish and talk to her. But there I was condescending. I had found $1,000 I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, now that poor old gal, it just went to my head, you see, and I didn't realize it. And that's what happens when you get a promotion and when you get a little money. You see, or went to strike oil, or whatever it is, it affects you before you know it. And you get it, you outgrow all your old friends, and you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, having money does affect a lot of people like that. I don't know how it would affect me, because I've never been in that situation.
I've seen.
You know, friends of mine that they won't even talk to you. They won't associate with you.
No.
They're off on their own expeditions.
Yeah, they don't realize it hardly. What's happening to them?
No.
Now, you see, that's really been on my mind since I saw Miss Mary over there. She said that fella came out there to look at her, talk to her about building a house.
Well.
That's a good house she's got. What's wrong with that house?
There's nothing wrong with it. That's all she'd ever. If she wants any better or something with more sturdy foundation than what that has, I told her, so why don't you buy you a nice little trailer? I said, lots of people are. And they're easy to keep up. They're easy to maintain. They're easy to heat and easy to air condition.
Yeah.
I said, that's the ideal thing for you and Marvin. I said, you don't have a house full of kids. If you get tired living here, you can pull it somewhere else and live. And buy you a nice little lot in some community if you're tired of this. Because she's always said she's fed up with this, you know, Cross Creek. So I said, if you're not happy here, why don't you do that? Sell your house rather than rebuild and put a lot of money into something that you won't get anything out of. She said, I don't know. She said, I think I'd rather have a house.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can't, you know, you can only suggest and hope that they do the right thing.
Yeah, just keep your fingers.
But I think she's a little bit like Mama. I'm going to tell you this, then I got to run. She says, she doesn't have any money. I don't care how much money she has, she won't have any money. And she doesn't want anybody to know that she's got any money. And she doesn't want anybody to think it, because she doesn't want to be robbed. She's afraid somebody's going to come in there, hit her over the head, and take everything she's got.
Yeah.
That's why she had Marvin stop the university. But anyhow, she's a little bit like Mama. Mama, right, just before the watermelons came in, I got a telephone call from Tampa from an old woman that lived next door to Mama in Tampa, Berman's mother. And she said, Miss Dodd is awful. She said she's in real bad shape. She says she's got sores on her legs. She claims the insects bit her, and she scratched them, and they're infected, and her legs are all black and swollen and runny. She said they're in awful shape. She ought to be in the hospital. And right away, I'd seen another lady like this in this same kind of condition, about the age of Mama is. But it wasn't from insect bites. It was from poor circulation from her heart. Her heart wasn't beating properly, and it was causing this blood to stagnate in her legs and cause these sores. So I told this lady, I said, are you sure that that's what it's from? And she said, well, that's what your mother said. Said that she was outside working in her flowers and was in an ant bed, and insects bit her on the leg. So I said, well, I'll tell my husband about it and see what we can do. I said, if she's real bad and needs to be in the hospital, we'll get her there one way or another. So we called Berman's sister in Ohio. And she called this old lady and talked with her. And she also thought it was because of her heart, from poor circulation, from what it sounded like. So she had some people, she's a physical therapist. So she called the hospital in Tampa and had some, health workers go out there and look at Mama, and they said that she was just before getting gangrene. So they rushed her to the hospital, and they told her that she had to go or she would lose both her legs. So she went. They put her in the hospital, and Ruby came down here 2-3 days later, went to see Mama at the hospital, and her legs was all swollen and black and terrible shape from poor circulation from the heart. She had heart trouble and didn't know it. So here she is. She's worth more money than probably you and I will ever see. I mean, she's dibbled in stocks and real estate, and she's got money in all kinds of banks there in Tampa,
yeah.
And real estate in Texas and Oklahoma, Alabama, all through Georgia, and here in Florida. And she taught 40 years. She taught 20 years in Florida State and retired from teaching. And then she taught 20 years longer in Texas and retired and draws a retirement state check from both states. She has money in bank under assumed names that we won't never know where they're all at. So now here she is in sort of an addled state, see. And she doesn't know where anything is. Her bedroom caught fire. The neighbors had to put it out. What papers burned, they don't know. What documents that she had. So we'll never be able to find any legal description of land or money in the bank or what, because she can't remember. She may remember some, but she won't be able to remember it all. So how do you run down something like that? We've got a lawyer going on it. But she's like that. Here she is now. She's probably like this because she won't eat the regular foods. She uses health foods and health pills. She's got them by the gallons in cardboard boxes stacked all in her kitchen and living room. And this is what she's been living on. And she won't eat a proper diet. She'll take these pills. That's probably what got wrong with her heart, because she was a healthy woman. So she said...
They've been trying to get the word in, and I've been...
Okay. What is it?
you say what you want to say.
Oh, goodness. No, I was just thinking about Miss Mary and her, what you were talking about, and her money. She doesn't want you to know she's got any.
That's just like Mama for the room.
But I tell you, we'll have to go and check on the guy.
Yeah. I haven't seen her yet.
Well, she's been bad off. I just wish that I hadn't been so tied up. I'm going to have to go because
yeah.
He's in a hurry. I think he's not feeling well. He's been out there trying to pack some watermelons with vermin for Saturday, and ever since then he's been having headaches. So I don't know whether he got in that hot sun too long or what.
He'll do it.
I think so. Yeah.
You don't realize it.
He didn't have a hat on, and I worried about that.
Okay,
now,
baby, I'm coming.
Sure, appreciate the time
you
brought over. Oh, you're welcome. Well,
a hat.
Wanted you to get a taste of
it. A hat is useful out right there in the boiling sun.
Timmy left Thursday over here to work in Evanston, and he didn't take his hat with him, and I usually check to make sure they got it, and I didn't. So he borrowed a dollar from Freddie from his wages and bought him a straw hat so he could wear it out there in the sun so he can get a sunstroke.
Good for him.
That's, yeah.
I'm going to have to go. He's worse than Burma.
So I'm not ready to go. You all come over and catch up on.
Yeah, we'll see you.
This is the end of visit with Shirley this Monday, the 18th of June, 73. Channel 2 right around, 1,000. Channel 2 right around 1,000. End of visit with Shirley, this unexpected visit, and the first time I've seen her in a couple of months since the Virgil affair, this Monday, the 18th of June, 73.